Hello, everybody. I'm Izzy Grossoff, and this is the Some Gender Going On podcast, episode 10. Today's episode is the joy of not giving a shit. Specifically, I'm talking about the joy of not giving a shit about what other people might think about what I do, how I behave, whenever I possibly can. Whenever I can avoid giving a shit, that's what I mean. As an example, I've been wearing a snake on my shoulders. I've got it right here. When I'm walking around, when I'm at work, when I'm at home, you know, whatever. And not just any snake, but a non-binary colored snake. You know, colored like the non-binary flag. Black, purple, white, and yellow. Now, I don't know that everybody's recognizing that, but a good fraction of people are seeing I have a snake on. Objectively, is it that weird? It's not so different from a scarf in terms of material and placement and functionality. But certainly not something that a lot of other people are doing. But I like to feel better. I didn't like the feel things that close around my neck or that are too hot. So something thinner, something, you know, a different sort of texture, and, you know, something I can pet. It's nice. But nobody else does it. It's very me. And there's certainly an incarnation of me that would have been like, oh, that's too weird. I can't do that. But I don't give a shit. I'm sure I get strange looks, and I get some compliments, and that's nice. The nice thoughts, the nice gestures, responses, those are welcome. And honestly, nothing else matters to me. Is it an autism thing? Or neurospice? I mean, certainly caring and feeling plushes is a classic move in the community. I haven't seen anybody do it with snakes in particular, but I wouldn't find it particularly weird in that context. But again, do I really care if I find it weird? I mean, yeah, a lot of people say it finds nice. It feels nice. I didn't set out to imitate anybody. I wasn't planning this when I got it. It's just something I like. So maybe it's more inherent to me than to some kind of social convention. And honestly, doing what's inherent to me and not some kind of social convention, that's what not giving a shit looks like. And maybe there's something more than that. Maybe a lot of people would like something like this or something that's not particularly odd objectively, but is quite odd from a social convention perspective. And the level of not giving a shit necessary to carry around a plush or do any of these other things is also deeply related to the level of not giving a shit to identify as neurospicy, especially when you don't literally have to. Nobody was going to come after me and force me to call myself autistic. Certainly some people have been in situations where that's really their only option, and no, I don't begrudge them at all. But for me, it's a choice to describe myself autistically, and it's a choice to carry around a snake authentically. It's all wrapped together. But for another example, spinning when I walk. I like to walk down the street and go into a turn, step to the left, step backwards, step around again. It's fun. I spin in the halls. I spin on the sidewalk. I used to do a jump spin for a while, but that's a bit too chaotic for me. It ties into my practice from marching band and practice from years of experience. It feels nice. It feels free. It feels joyous. It feels femme. It's me. It's fun to do with a girlfriend, too. I'll lift up her arm as I do the spin, or lift up its arm. It's just lovely. Another part, I'm learning to spin in boots. It's challenging, and maybe not what one would expect from somebody who wears boots. Maybe they're contrasting vibes. And honestly, I like that. It's lots of fun. I relace the boots with some rainbow shoelaces I have. That really helps. But honestly, what helps most of all is that I'm not worried if someone sees me trip or falls over, thinks I'm clumsy, thinks I'm odd, thinks what I'm doing is weird, thinks that it's not what a professor usually gets up to. Okay, their thoughts don't affect me. Their thoughts are just their thoughts. And objectively, it is something a professor does, because I'm a professor and I do it. What more is there to it than that? Another example, I reoriented my chair when I'm sitting at home. I reoriented my chair when I'm watching a talk. As I write these words, I'm lying on my couch, one foot up on the back cushion, the other one on the armrest, head towards the edge where one's legs usually go off the couch. That's just how I'm sitting. That's at home, but the same principle applies if I'm concentrating hard enough at work. It's ADHD. It's gender. I focus better. I curl up my legs and I focus on the talk. Or I sit sideways in the chair and I focus on the talk. I focus better that way. Because I'm not spending my effort thinking both about the talk and about how I'm sitting. I just do whatever. And I'm good at what I do. I'm good at understanding talks live. That's a skill of mine, something I care about and appreciate. And really, I don't give a shit what the people around me are thinking. Worrying about them won't help me understand the content. Those niceties just get in the way. So I'll curl up, or I'll twist back and forth, or what have you. I'm not putting the effort into these other things that are only for the hypothetical benefit of people I'm just assuming don't like it. What's that worth? Back when I was taking classes, or nowadays in seminars and conference talks, I'll sit in the front row and I ask questions when I want to, when I feel like it helped me. And you know what? Sometimes I'm a bit out of it. I'm tired, it's been a long conference, not completely understanding the talk, and maybe the question is fairly basic. And you know what? I can ask it anyways. I don't pay attention when people, well, I notice, but I don't change my behavior when people behind me scoff or shift their weight or indicate that they're wanting me to get on with it. If I'm taking up too much of the time of the talk, that's fine. That's one thing. But not just like, oh, why is somebody asking a talk? We all understand it perfectly. When the reality of the situation is, 9 times out of 10, a large fraction of the audience does not understand the talk perfectly. That's the default. The unusual part is somebody doing something about it. Life's too short to waste on what people think about me. I've wasted far too many years already. It doesn't help me be successful, it's not fun, and it doesn't make for a better talk experience. So I'm not going to give a shit. Another example, mismatched socks. I tell everyone that every sock's an opportunity for more color, that I wouldn't have it any other way. That it's authentic, it's being myself. And that's certainly true, it is my aesthetic preference. But also, laundry management is a nightmare for me. It drains my mana bar, by which I mean my limited ability to stay at a non-equilibrium point in focus space. Mana burn, I call it, that rapid drain. It leaves me dry, it leaves me miserable, it leaves me never wanting to do laundry again, and it leaves me unable to do other things in my day. Why would I put myself through that? To look more normative? Why? What's that worth? I'd rather, you know, be happy and comfortable and just have a nice time. Better just not give a shit. That's the way to go. Another example, maybe a bit more intense, is crying cathartically in situations where it's not normatively expected, makes people uncomfortable. Yeah, I mean, I could bottle it. I've done that before, but it hurts. It's emptying to bottle myself when I've got an intention, emotion to not express it. If I can't come out, I start to lose connection with who I am, with what I want. How can I ever see it from the outside? How can I ever get better if I'm bottling it, if I'm not even letting it emerge from me? Bottling myself makes me feel empty and cold and hollow and detached from the situation, seeing it only distantly, seeing it through a screen. It's not worth it. That, I mean, depersonalization, sometimes it's called, but whatever it is, I don't want to go down that route. I'm going to feel intense emotion. I'm going to be myself. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be embodied. I'm going to cry. And I'm not going to give a shit. And yeah, some people get really uncomfortable with that. Okay, it's not my responsibility to display only the emotions that the people around me are comfortable with experiencing. I'm not going to scream or yell, fine. Those are, you know, I understand why that's a display of emotion that's not really, people aren't comfortable with, but you can't make me not cry. I need that more than you need to not see it. And at the end of the day, I just don't give a shit about making people uncomfortable if it means being able to feel my emotions the way I need to feel them. Something more on the gender side, pronoun reminders. It used to be I felt terrified when somebody said it wrong because I felt like I should correct them, but also I wanted to correct them. Also, I wanted to stand up for myself and I wanted them to change. But also, what if they get pissed off with me reminding them and I nudge them into spiraling transphobia? So it was really never, there was no clear direction to take, no clear direction to go. And half of those things are about caring about what they think, right? Like, oh, I want to correct them and make them change. Oh, maybe I'll piss them off. Now, I don't care what they think. If I don't remind them, it's because it feels like more fucks than it's worth. I have no responsibility to make them change. If they change, or if they don't, that's on them. I have no responsibility to try to change them. I can do what feels right in the moment. If I feel like trying to nudge them in a positive direction, I can do that. If I don't, I cannot. I can do what feels right in the moment, but I'm not scared anymore. Or at least I wish I wasn't. I'm less scared, but still sometimes. To be honest, there's a lot of elements wrapped up in gendered presentation and gendered interactions where the normative approach doesn't work for me. To take a pretty... An example that comes up a lot, I wear shorts under my skirt. Other people might carry a purse to carry around the stuff that I carry around. But for me, I need pockets. I need my arms free. And also, a purse I can forget and lose. Pockets are attached to me, and I really appreciate that. And I don't care if it's unladylike to reach under my skirt for my shorts in public. First of all, who got to decide that they have more right to decide what was femme enough than I do? And second, who gets to decide that I want to be femme in the first place? I can be femme in some ways and not in others. There's no requirement for consistency. I'm non-binary. I do whatever the fuck I want. I don't give a shit. I'll carry around stuff how it's comfortable, and I'll look cute doing it. And that's all there is. Take another example. I shave myself, my face in public by feel. When I'm walking down the street, when I'm talking with somebody, when I need to. Is that normal? Is that something a lot of people do? Who cares? It makes me feel better. A lot better. Really a lot better. Why would I give a shit if it's normal? Why would that even matter? This is why I reacted badly to being recommended to try using women-designated spaces, not just men-designated spaces, like bathrooms, for instance. Because it felt like I was being told that I had to give a shit. And yeah, I do have to give a shit. But the thing is, I was already, before I started talking about this to anybody. Because I wasn't asking what makes sense, or what would be nice, or what would be right. I was asking who might I hurt. And I was running scared of very long odds, of very obscure methods of harm that were being blown out of proportion to push an agenda that trans people are scary and dangerous and seeing us is harming those who see us. I was giving a shit, in other words, and it was not joyous by any means. I was sad because I was being reminded of that state of affairs. Now, I give less of a shit about gendered spaces and about obscure theories of harm. Not no shits. I don't really think that's an option in these circumstances. But that's okay. It's not one approach for all circumstances. It's case by case, it's context, and it's conditions. That's navigating reality. But I'm doing so more consciously, not instinctually. And that makes a big difference. For a more personal example, I have chest hair on my cleavage. Not a lot of people who show cleavage do. A lot of people don't have chest hair in the first place. A lot of people shave it. I don't want to shave my chest hair. I like it. It's soft, and it's smooth, and it lies nicely. People who don't have it, they don't know what they're missing. Or they want different things than I do. Why would I prioritize their judgment? Why would I care? Or at least I'd like to not care. I did care, that being said, for a long time. And there's definitely other things that I still do, and I'd rather I didn't. Not giving a shit isn't always immediate. It's something that needs to be cultivated over time. I used to care what people thought. More than that, I instinctively deferred to normativity. I wasn't evaluating the potential for judgment, the potential for consequences. I was fleeing. I was scared of the busybodies of the dark, in the dark. When it came to my cleavage, for instance, I wasn't thinking about what I wanted, or whether other people's distaste was worth prioritizing. I wasn't thinking at all. I was fleeing, hiding, terrifying, minimizing myself, minimizing who I wanted to be, automatically and continually. It took me a long time to work through that, a long time to get past it. And I've had to go through that over and over and over again for all sorts of different things that I've eventually learned to not instinctually defer to normative judgment. When it came to wearing feminine clothes in a more public context or a work context, when it came to changing my name, when it came to changing my pronouns, when it came to wearing flowers in my hair, when it came to dozens or hundreds of different gendered presentation aspects, I've had to go through this. What will other people think of me? Oh God, that's terrifying. Actually, wait, why would I give a shit what other people think? Fuck them all. I do what I want. This is me. And then, do people react badly? Often not. Because the pressure is exerted at the level of setting norms, not at the level of day-by-day enforcement. And also, you know, I'm in a good context for this. I'm in a setting where things are okay. These dangers, at least for me, and I realize that this is a major piece of privilege that not everybody gets to experience, the dangers for me are more at a narrative level than at a physical execution level. I like that. It's nice. I appreciate it every day I get to be myself. And I'm going to take advantage of it. There's no two ways about it. But the thing is, I've also had trouble in the other direction, where my desire to eject unreasonable constraints on my behavior has also led me to eject reasonable constraints as well. And that's ended up with me doing things I regret. Cases where I hurt people, where I made people uncomfortable, where I overstepped social norms that I didn't mean to overstep, and which I regret having overstepped. And to be clear, I am intentionally not giving details. And that should give you a hint of the extent to which I regret some of the behavior in question. There's a voice in my head that says, "See? See? This is what happens when you reject my advice. When you ignore the rules. You'd be a better person if you followed the rules. It'd be so much simpler, too. You'd never have to think for yourself. I'd just hand you all the answers. So listen to me and do what you're supposed to do." The voice is telling me to lock myself away, my true self away, in fear of the harms I might commit. I've heard this voice 12 times, 100 times. I really do regret hurting people very strongly, and it makes it really scary to feel like I'm risking causing that. But the reality is, there's two parts to this. One is, the situations where I hurt people, it's not that locking myself away harder would have helped necessarily. In many cases, I couldn't recognize I was beginning to hurt people because I was repressing what I wanted so hard that I wasn't monitoring my actions. So the narrative that minimize yourself more, it's the right thing to do, it's not even true. It wouldn't have even necessarily helped in these circumstances. Being in touch with who you really are, that can help you see when you're harming people too, because you can see what you're actually doing. But more than that, this is a narrative that doesn't value my own happiness and authenticity in the slightest. And that's just not a narrative I can live by. My joy is worth taking steps for, and I shouldn't close myself off from that possibility from some long and not altogether particularly plausible odds of the potential for harming people. It's reasonable to double check my actions and consider whether there's that possibility, but at the end of the day, I have to do what makes me happy. That's most of who's being affected. When I wear a snake, when I use my pockets under my skirt, when I have chest hair on my cleavage, when I have all these examples I've given, I'm the main person who's affected, not anybody else. So my joy is what should be prioritized. So no, I'm not going to lock myself away in fear of the harms I might commit. Those harms are far too long odds to prioritize over my own joy. The saying goes, kill the cop in your head. It dates to the 1968 Paris University protests and the Associated General Strike. And make no mistake, that judgmental mindset, oh, you might hurt people, wouldn't it be better to not think for yourself, then you'd never hurt anybody. That's very much in line with it. And that was placed in my mind, built and implanted and reinforced. There is a intense narrative going around society that normativity is success, deviation is danger, and failure and misbehavior and evil. The very word misbehavior, it's saying it's behavior that's not normal and it's behavior that's bad, all in the same concept. And I've been marinating in that mindset my whole damn life, as have the vast majority of people I know, much to my chagrin. The narrative says the more normal, the more good, the more good, the more success, the more normal. And on and on and on, crushing us all into a uniform mold of bland suits and fake smiles and firm handshakes with no one behind them. Look, don't you want to be normal? You could be like them, happy and successful and bland as a flat white sheet with nothing on it. No, I don't want to be that person. Why would I want to be normal? That sounds like shit. Why would I want to prioritize normalcy over anything? No. God, no. So I haven't. I've been myself. I've learned out of that mindset one step at a time for 10 plus years at this point, climbing out of that pit. The jailer trying to lock me away into that mindset, that jailer is gone. I fired him or chased him off or shot out the tires on the jailer's car. Now the gates are open. I wore them open or grinded away at them until I could snap them off, pick the locks, bent them apart. Now I walk free of that prison in my mind. Now only the whispers remain. They're still there, but they don't hold me. They don't bind me. The invisibility of the normal is shattered. The supremacy of the normal is shattered. I don't give a shit, and I am free. I'm trans. Not giving a shit is the only way I could ever manage it. The only way I could ever be myself. The only way I could ever be happy. And I am so intensely happy. For all that people might claim to be supportive or allies, so often they'd rather I wasn't trans. They'd rather they had their simple little closed-off world back. The reaction to, I'm trans, wasn't, congratulations, like it should be when I share the happiest thing I've ever realized, the joyous possibilities ahead. The reaction to, I'm trans, was, oh, with a strongly implied, oh no. And so, I'm trans, became, I'm trans, and eventually, I'm trans. It's only been in trans spaces where I get to be as excited as I want to be, where I can put my hope and trust into the people around me. Everywhere else, I lead by not giving a shit. I'm trans. I say, I'm trans, with the tone of a lazy daydream that tells them it's not something they get a say in, not something I'm putting out for their perusal. It's just something I know about myself. Just the little elements of reality. One they don't get to control. They don't get to reshape to their understanding. Don't get to put their hands on. I'm trans. And I love it. And I don't give a shit. And more than that, I love myself. I love who I am and who I've become. And that's something I can always fall back on. That deep well of love for myself. It's something I can feel whenever I want to feel it. And I'm really grateful, I'm really happy, I'm really proud that I've gotten to this point. It's really special, it's really true, it's really me. I love myself. So yeah, I don't give a shit about what anybody else thinks. And maybe if I know you, and I like you, and I trust you, I can let you in. Give you a chance. Let myself care about what you think. But you've got to earn it. I'm not going to offer on spec to care about what you think. And if you don't want to, if you don't want to earn it, that's fine. I don't need you. I love myself. I enjoy myself, free, not giving a shit. So, you only have to go and earn it if you want to, or, you know, if you earn it without even trying. Now, I recognize that there's a danger here, a danger of becoming calloused, isolated, hardened off from the possibility of connection. Of only being able to be happy when I'm on my own. I don't want that. I want to connect, to care, to let people in. I'm okay with being burned, giving people a chance. I'll be okay getting burned a few times. But it's different to let a specific person in, to give a specific person a chance, than to let in the generalized opinion of strangers. Or, worst of all, to let in the perception of what strangers might think, might want, that amalgamated some of influences over time, and to let it in so deeply that that amalgamated hypothetical preference triggers before I even get to think about what I want, before I even get to think about what I'm doing. That's how it used to be, and I'm never going back there. It's not worth it. That doesn't just burn me, it latches onto me and drains me dry. So that stays out. But you, dear listener, you can come in. You're a person, not an amalgamated stranger. If you want to join me in not giving a shit, you're welcome out here. I'll help you chase off the jailer, pick the lock, bend the bars, drown out the whispers. It's a big world out here. We can connect. We can care. We can feel. We can be real. We can live. We can be ourselves and truly see each other. So, do you want to join me? That's everything. Thank you for listening, and thank you for thinking. See you next time.